got to go all the way back to 1913 to find the first permanent income tax in the United States from the federal government. There were taxes prior to that that paid for things like the Civil War and other efforts that we made as a nation. But the first permanent income tax came in 1913. And my next guest says that was the foundation, the root, if you will, of all evil. When it comes to disintegrating your liberties, your rights, your privileges here as an American, your God-given rights are threatened because of income tax. In fact, David Thomas Roberts has written a brand new book, The Death of Liberty, The Socialist Destruction of America's Freedoms Using the Income Tax. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve, thank you for having me.
Oh, good to have you. I've got a copy of the book here in my hand. Fascinating book you've written here, because you say that we have allowed incrementally the reduction, the elimination, the destruction of our God-given inalienable rights here. Start from the beginning and tell me why you've come to believe that.
Well, I'll start from the beginning why the book was written to begin with. I went through a series of 12 years of straight audits with the IRS.
Whoa.
And felt like I was targeted. This was during a previous administration. And then I had some strange things happen. Like, for some reason, I was on the no-fly list. My wife and I got stopped coming back into the country from a vacation, and all these things started adding up. We filed 72 FOIA requests to try to figure out what's going on. And basically, for a period, I guess I was an enemy of the state.
You know, I can't even begin to tell you my empathy. My wife and I, Ivy and I, went through a compliance audit, which is a random audit, one time a couple of years ago. I thought it was the worst period of time in my life when it came. It's just gut-wrenching. They can demand anything they want. They can rifle through your files. They can make accusations and assumptions. Man, going through audits as many times as you did, I'd have lost 100 pounds in all my hair.
Well, Steve, every one of those audits for me were compliance audits, where they're auditing every line item of your tax return. You have to basically prove every line item.
Right, that's what I went through. Wait a second. I thought those were random and rare.
Yeah, right. I was going to my congressmen and to my senators. I live in Texas, and,
right.
and telling them, guys and gals, this isn't just the 501Cs, because I was early on Tea Party, active politically, donate to conservative candidates and causes, and this kept happening to me. And I said, you know, this is not an accident. In fact, most of the time, Steve, I was paying more money to the accountants than I was ever giving back to the IRS.
Same was true with me.
So to me, it was a harassment. Yeah, it was a harassment issue for me. But as I got through this, and it's a different story of how we got through this, and finally, thank God, the administration changed, and that's when my problems stopped, knock on wood. But the I started wondering myself, and this is my fifth book, and I was like, I'm going to write a book about this experience and some of the terrorism that I went through. And then it started to occur to me, how did America ever get like this, where it would allow, you know, a Gestapo-style IRS and a progressive income tax? I mean, where did that idea come from? And because I surely wouldn't think that Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and those guys would have ever put up with something like that, because it wasn't even constitutional to have a direct tax.
No, of course they wouldn't have allowed that, because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's a free country, right? Well, it is until you don't pay your taxes. If you don't pay your income taxes, they'll throw you in jail. If you don't pay your property taxes, they'll take your house. You know that. You never truly own anything, because if you don't pay up when they demand it, they'll take it. They'll take your freedom. They'll take your property, won't they?
Right, they will. And I've been to tax court for almost every one of those years, because it became a principal thing for me. And fighting, even if it was not a lot of money, I fought it all in tax court. And the thing that I realized when I was going through tax court with this is that Americans completely lose. There is no Bill of Rights in U.S. tax court. None. Zero. You have no Fifth Amendment. You have no Fourth Amendment. You don't even have a First Amendment in tax court. So I just couldn't understand how we got this way incrementally. And, you know, the progressive income tax, which, you know, I've talked to elected officials for the past 3 months all across the country in advance of this book, and very few of them know that the progressive income tax is the second plank of the Communist Manifesto. So how did we get here?
Well, what's the answer? I give up. How did we get here? How did we allow this to happen? I believe it was Teddy Roosevelt, TR, who pushed it through. It wasn't signed until Woodrow Wilson was president. And as much as I'd like to blame Woodrow Wilson and his crazy leftist policies, the fact of the matter is it happened prior to him taking office.
Well, yeah, Teddy Roosevelt, unfortunately, has as much to do with this being passed as any one individual. And, it, you know, if somebody were to read the speeches that Teddy Roosevelt was giving in the early 1900s, you would have thought you were listening to some progressive socialist Democrat. In fact, even communistic. And so he was the proponent of that. And you have to understand that America at the time was going through sort of what we're going through here. And I'm worried that we're at the precipice of another progressive era with this rise of the socialist Democrats income inequality, eat the rich, capitalism is bad. These are the type of things that were going on then that actually Roosevelt and others had capitalized on.
Sure.
And in 1908, go ahead.
I was just saying, sure, you're right, because T.R. was a progressive. I mean, his reincarnation as a candidate in 1912, he came back as the progressive Bull Moose Party. You know that. He was a progressive in some ways. I don't disagree with everything that he did, but I don't like this whole progressive tax system, because if I'm not mistaken, it was 1%, and that's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to stay flat at 1%. Of course, we saw where that went, didn't we?
Yeah, well, you know, it's probably no mistake, too, that 2 years – actually, it was implemented in 1915 was the first income tax, and 2 years later we're in World War One.
Right.
So and then if you saw some of the ads that were run in newspapers and so forth, now it was patriotic to pay your taxes, even though what's not taught in schools today is that America was founded on an anti-tax fervor. Taxes had as much to do with the American Revolution as anything.
Correct.
And so now there's a new war and a way to increase money that's being taken from Americans. You know, prior to that, how in the world did America ever get to the greatest country in the world from 1776 to 1913 without income tax? I mean, they raised money on excise taxes and tariffs and fees. It wasn't on income taxes.
Yeah, they were able to do it. And you point out, David, and I appreciate you doing that, we spent $7 trillion, I believe, in the Middle East since the beginning of the Iraq War in 2003. So here we are, $7 trillion later. I'm not sure what we got in return for it, but there you go. The book is The Death of Liberty, The Socialist Destruction of America's Freedoms Using the Income Tax. It's right there. I've got a copy of it right here in my hand. And great book and great effort, David. And I suppose you can find this book in all the regular places.
Yeah, actually, we have our book launch party in Capitol Hill today. So tonight's a big day. But it actually officially releases tomorrow, a week from today. But you can actually order the book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and have it in time.
So, and reserve your copy. Great topic, and certainly have you back. David Thomas Roberts, the publisher of Defiance Press and the CEO of Telegistics. Again, the book is The Death of Liberty, The Socialist Destruction of America's Freedoms Using the Income Tax. You know, rust never sleeps, David. They're always trying to find more. They'll find their way in. Greatly appreciate you being here today.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me.
There you have it. It's a quick break on a Tuesday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in-and-out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
The National Guard for me was a perfect fit. I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I didn't find that in the normal day-to-day life. I didn't find that working behind a desk. I realized being hands-on and being a soldier was something that would keep me active, keep me outside, keep me in that team environment that I craved and that I needed so much. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country, it was just icing on the cake. I wanted to be in Boise, Idaho. I wanted to be home. The National Guard gave me the opportunity to stay right where I was, serve my country and my community, and it was the best of both worlds. I grew up flying bush planes in Alaska with my dad. I was fortunate enough to get my pilot's license. I wanted to be in helicopters. I wanted to be a crew chief. The Army National Guard gave me a chance to fly helicopters now instead of fixed-wing aircraft.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.